episode number 172, the holiday episode 2008.
Live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro C28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah, this week, maybe.
Yeah, I know. I spent a lot of money on this year for Christmas. I stimulated the economy. Let me put it that way.
That's good.
That's awesome. So this is definitely our holiday, Christmas, whatever you want to call it, episode.
Yeah, like 3 days before Christmas, 4 days before Christmas.
Yep. I can't wait till it's all over.
Yeah.
Folks, this is going to be kind of a long one. We got a lot of stuff to cover, but it's all going to be fun, I think, this one.
Yeah.
Chris and I did a rundown here and scribbled down on paper. So we're going to talk about, some GM news, some Camaro news, some follow-up, some older Camaro news, and more GM news, and maybe some special holiday cheer and all that.
Glee.
Stuff. Glee. Right, Glee. We haven't talked about Glee since last year.
I know.
And so, like I said, it's going to be a long one, but stay in for the long haul because we're going to make it fun.
Of course, as always.
So where do you want to start here?
Start off with the GM news.
GM news.
Yeah. It looks like the government came through, and they're going to get their bridge loan. Looks like General Motors is going to get the bulk of that loan to float them through. So what they need to do now is do a little reorganizing and come up with a plan. And let's see what happens. Hopefully this kickstarts something good.
Well, I think it ought to.
I'm 100% behind it. I don't think seeing them go bankrupt or failing is any good for this country or the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is a pretty volatile subject. A lot of people, yeah. It's probably almost as volatile as politics.
Right. I try not to, I don't know. It's not a Republican versus Democrat thing here. It's saving our economy. There's no other way around it.
Well, I consider it the lesser of two evils at this point.
Well, of course.
I'm not 100% for the fact that it has to be done, but I feel it has to be done or we're going to be in worse shape.
Yeah.
If we didn't. I mean, this is really a stop the bleeding type thing.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled about it as a taxpayer. I'm not thrilled about it at all. But at the same time, I'd be even less thrilled if there was no General Motors, not because I'm an enthusiast, but just because I firmly believe that everybody in this country can have a 6 degrees of separation from somebody that is tremendously affected, not just minorly affected, but tremendously impacted by the big three, even one of the big three going down.
Oh, of course.
And it
especially here in Michigan, especially.
Right.
And that's what people don't understand without living here,
mm-hmm.
and knowing how much the big three has to do with not only the local economy, but the global economy.
Absolutely.
In general.
Absolutely. Like I said before, if one of these guys were to topple, you wouldn't be. Nobody could watch it from a safe distance.
It would be a domino effect.
Absolutely. And if people don't believe it, man, stop and think about everything that's affected by it. We've talked about it before, and I don't think we're going to get too deep into it, but just kind of to reinforce that, hey, this might not be the best thing, but it sure as hell ain't the worst.
No.
And, well, let's just hope that it gets utilized properly. And we're going to come and GM and we as American taxpayers are all going to come out ahead in the end.
Yeah.
So that's what it's designed for, right?
Exactly. And I saw the Canadian government stepped up too and is pumping in, I think, $2 or $3 billion for the automakers.
Now,
as well.
Why would they do such a thing?
Well,
because it affects them too.
Of course.
It's not just U.S.
It's a North American thing. Right. So, anyways.
So
let's get on to some more. Some more positive news.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
An Imperial Blue Camaro
RS. Yeah.
Shows up at Les Stanford Chevrolet. Just out of nowhere.
And, well, Les Stanford is a pretty huge Chevrolet dealer,
mm-hmm.
if not the largest Chevrolet dealer in the nation.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought that your dealership...
They're Buff Whalen, I think, is number two. Number two or three. Well, in certain sales aspects. Les Stanford has always been a huge Corvette seller.
Right.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm guessing they have a pretty large allocation of Camaros.
It was kind of interesting because I saw the post come through, and the post says, you know, I stopped by Les Stanford Chevrolet, and it turns out it was posted by
an employee.
That's all right. No big deal on that one.
That's fine.
It looks great. The two-tone interior, you get a decent view of the paddle shifters.
And I think I made a good choice on not changing the wheels because I really like the looks of those gray wheels. I think with my black car, I think that's going to look killer.
Oh, man. It's always polarizing. When new pictures come out that nobody's seen before, you'll see so many differing opinions come in. And I just can't understand why some people would make such a firm and powerful opinion on something without seeing it in person, because the pictures weren't exactly the best.
Right.
You know, they were obviously taken kind of in a hurry. Look, the car still looks pretty good in my opinion, and I think most people share that opinion as well. But again, if you have a negative opinion, don't quite, you know, count it out yet. Wait till you see it in person.
Of course.
Because it only gets better in person.
Yeah.
In our opinion, and everybody shares that. Any other thoughts about that? I wish it was a V8.
I wish it was at Buff Whalen so we could have drove up there and saw it.
I wish we had gotten some advance notice, because if I would have known, I would have been able to zip down there and get some really good pictures of it.
Yeah,
because
they're like, what, about 45 minutes away from us?
Yeah, and I would have been able to schedule the time off work and everything to go down there. So, hey, John and Cheryl, you know, hey, what's going on here? Hopefully there's going to be more, you know.
That would be nice. That'd be real nice.
I think it's safe to assume there's going to be plenty more.
Yeah.
So check out the thread. It's in the 2010 general section.
Yeah, I'll post a link to it in the show notes.
Roger that. What's next on the list here?
Next on the list is...
Oh, well, before, I want to say something.
What?
Speaking of dealerships and ordering,
there's
still a lot of confusion on when you can change your order. And I just wanted to drive home that it's not too late. It shouldn't be too late.
No, they haven't started making them yet.
Right. So any dealership, if you're working with a dealership and they're being hesitant or giving you a little bit of resistance on changing your order, I just want to say, remember, this is your car.
Right.
Okay. This has got to be something that you need to be happy with. The last thing that we want to hear is somebody getting a car and they're not happy with it, not because the car is bad, but because they didn't get what they wanted.
Right.
Remember, this is your car and this is your money. And if your dealership is stalling on making changes,
press them a little.
Yeah. You put the pressure on. They work for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And no offense to our dealers out there that are good, but you know, I just want to make sure that everybody who gets their car who's expecting to be happy is happy with their choices.
Yeah.
So don't let them stall you on that. By any stretch. And you dealers out there, hey, be good to our boys.
That's right.
And girls. Boys and girls? All right.
You got another follow-up from last week's topic of the body in white?
Yeah. There's been a little bit more of some clarification on that. I know there's a lot of questions about whether or not it'll come with a VIN. And one of the folks from General Motors Performance Parts hopped on the board, became a part of our community, and clarified that, no, it will not have a VIN. So this isn't one of those things that you can, you know, stick things together and start driving it down the highway. This is meant to be a race-only, off-road use-only type package. There's also some confusion on what website to go to because the PDF press release didn't have the proper link in it. And that was all fixed and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, just wanted to kind of clarify that because I know that there was some confusion about that.
Okay. That's good to know. I was wondering that myself, whether or not the thing was going to have a VIN on it. How are you supposed to register the car? I guess you can't.
I'm going to assume that more information is going to be forthcoming as far as how you can get it. You still have to go through a process to get it, though.
Oh, yeah.
You have to fill out, I don't know, some sort of registration form.
Right.
And I'm going to assume that they're going to fortify that, hey, you can't drive this on the street, and whoever buys it signs a waiver saying they're not going to drive it on the street, VIN or not.
Yeah, of course.
And what else is going on in the...
There was an interesting topic you brought to my attention.
Yeah.
That was in the forum this week. And it has to do with the new radio that's going to be put into the Camaro. And it didn't get a lot of play. And I don't know if a lot of people noticed this or not, but we're going to cover that this week.
Yeah, let's pull that up here. You got that?
Yeah. It was an article. Well, somebody posted a post here in the radio forum. What's that?
The audio and electronics.
The audio, yeah, for the 2010.
Right.
And it's called Aftermarket Radio Difficulties.
It's an old thread.
Yeah.
But it got bumped to the top, but nobody noticed. The best part was the part that bumped it.
Right. There was someone by the name of Logan's NEO made a post from a reference here from tradingmarkets.com about the 2010 Camaro's audio system design. And he says, check it out before you dismiss the Camaro's premium sound system. And it just says that this is posted, well, the article was written August 15th of 2008. Visteon and Boston Acoustics said they will deliver refined performance in the audio system that accents the redesigned 2010 Chevrolet Camaro. The two companies are engineering a premium audio system for the Camaro's relaunch that is tailored to suit the Camaro's legacy. Starting with precision speaker design, Boston Acoustics, creator of the Boston Sound for home stereo system, is engineering speakers for the Camaro that are robust enough to handle high power and loud play, yet capable of reproducing the finest acoustic details. Powering those speakers is Visteon's high-performance and state-of-the-art DSP amplifier. From there, audio integration engineers from Visteon and Boston Acoustics carefully tailor the equalization to the Camaro's specific interior configurations to accurately reproduce the Boston sound within the vehicle, transforming the vehicle into an acoustically ideal soundstage. Fabrics, seat placement, and instrument panel materials are just a few of the many variables considered while fine-tuning the quality of sound reproduction for the vehicle's interior. Now, that says a lot right there.
I find this very interesting because in our 2002 Camaros, we had the same stereo head unit that the pickup trucks had.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that the audio engineers had refined the sound for the Camaro's interior, but I don't think to this level. This is like the only system of its kind. This isn't borrowed from anything, as far as I can tell.
No. It goes on to say, offered as an option, the groups noted the premium Boston Acoustics audio system, which I believe comes with, what, the 2SS?
Correct, I believe.
Will allow consumers to hearken back to the glory days of Motown or experience the pulsation of today's techno music with digital signal processing enhanced sound quality that was unheard of until now. Visteon is honored to play such an important role in the redesign of a true classic, said Julie Freem, Vice President, Visteon GM Customer Group. Using advanced automotive audio technologies, Visteon and Boston Acoustics are creating a polished, dimensional soundstage that will provide as powerful an impact as the reintroduction of this iconic vehicle. This is truly a sports car for the 21st century. We are pleased that GM has introduced the Boston Sound to its vehicles in North America, and we know that Camaro and Boston Acoustics will make beautiful music together, said Michael J. Maloney, president of D&M Holdings OEM Global Marketing Group, which includes the Boston Acoustics brand. As consumers raise the expectations for great sound in their vehicles, Boston Acoustics is ready to meet those demands.
This is a big concern of mine, because I love a good sound system.
Mine too.
I mean, I had to have something powerful, and I don't think I have to worry anymore.
I don't think so either. I'm really hyped about this system. I think it's going to sound phenomenal.
I remember my first Camaro, the Bose. I had the Bose 5-speaker system.
Yeah.
I liked it better than my Monsoon system in my 2002. Yeah.
I didn't like the Monsoon system at all.
I could not tune it to where it sounded good.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet that this is just going to blow both of them out of the water. Yeah. I bet that this is going to be more than what most people out there need.
Normally, I just yank everything out and start with new.
Right, yeah. Because,
I know that's going to be harder to do with the integration of the, driver's information center. Mm-hmm. You got OnStar and all that stuff. I do note in the thread that there is going to be options to be able to port that stuff over to an aftermarket radio.
Well,
but more of a pain in the ass, I'm sure.
I don't think it's going to be necessary for most. Maybe even not.
I'm going to give it a try, man, but I'm pretty hyped about this.
Me too. And you can see some cool pictures of the Boston Acoustics emblem in the thread with the Imperial Blue Car by Stanford.
Definitely.
There's some great pictures of details that weren't brought to light earlier.
Cool stuff.
So, another news, speaking of old cars. Well, first new cars, then old cars, if I'm looking at my notes right.
Yeah.
A little while ago, the third production Camaro off the line went to that auction.
Creative for Design Centers in Detroit
on. Yeah.
School.
And we profiled that auction that raised, what, $75,000 or thereabouts. We wondered where the first and second one were to go to.
Right.
I guess it's not you and I, Chris.
Nope.
And not John and Cheryl, and not even Scott, the F-Bod father himself. It's going to be auctioned off. The very first production Camaro.
Yeah, it just came out this week. Barrett Jackson's going to auction off the first 2010 Chevrolet Camaro. It's going to be on prime time on Saturday, January 17th, at their normal Scottsville, Arizona show, place mm-hmm. that they yeah. do all their shows. They did the ZR1 last year and raised $1 million.
What do you think this will go? I mean, it's no ZR1.
It's no ZR1. I'm going to guess 250.
That's what I was going to guess, too.
I'm going to guess 250.
I'm going to guess in the quarter mil area.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be one to watch. I'll definitely set my recorder so I can convert it over to a video to show on yeah. In our video section. But I bet you we're going to see some celebrities standing there.
Oh, you bet.
I expect. Jay Leno, I know yeah. you're listening. You better be there. You better bid early and bid high, big guy, because yeah. I'm going to be challenged. I'm going to go there. I'm going to bid on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It says, like the ZR1, all proceeds will be given to a charity, in this case, the American Heart Association.
Nice.
So anything over the car's list MSRP will be tax deductible, which is nice.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. We should do a CamaroZ28.com group bid.
Yeah.
Who gets to drive it? Me.
Everybody gets it for an hour. A year.
It'd be like the town whore. Yeah.
Imagine trying to get insurance on that.
Imagine trying to get all the rubber out of the wheel wells.
Yeah.
Like your Buick Grand National when you first got it. That's good stuff, man. So the question is, who gets number two?
Interesting.
Maybe that will go into the Heritage Museum because they're making lots of room.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
We're leading into that now. GM is moving out a lot of the old Heritage stuff. We're talking some serious vehicles here. They're going to auction them all off also at Barrett-Jackson, correct?
Yeah, all of them.
Is it the same day?
No.
No? Okay.
Well, let's see if I got a date here. I'm not seeing the date.
It'll come out.
I know they're scheduled to go.
Well, we're talking some you know, the one that comes to mind that really blows me away is the John Moss 572 ZL1.
Yeah.
I can't believe that they're selling that. But there's other cars I can't believe they're selling either.
Oh, here we go. All cars will be auctioned by Barrett-Jackson from January 13th through the 19th.
Oh, boy.
In Scottsdale, Arizona.
So it's just a nonstop week of GM non-stop, moving stuff out.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good thing, and I'll tell you guys why. Scott Settlemyer and I have had conversations, and if I remember my facts right, they were running out of room anyway. They were getting to the point where they had so much overflow that they were going to start crushing vehicles.
There is a ton of cars, and you and I have been to that museum at least two times.
That's just a fraction of what they own, though.
I know. And it's just incredible what they have and what they've kept. And
mm-hmm.
whew, man.
Yeah, God, I know. Well, I believe Scott had to pull some out to save him from the crusher by putting him on his show circuit, which is very, very daring of him because he typically never had the budget to do so in the first place. But it was in order to save him. And I saw some Camaros alone, not to mention other show cars that are non-Camaro, that I know were headed towards a crusher.
Yeah.
And Scott managed to save them from execution, typically. Well, this is good because GM can obviously use some money. Okay. Second of all, it creates room for future Heritage vehicles, maybe the second Camaro off the line.
Mm-hmm.
And third of all, it puts some great cars that into the hands of enthusiasts and, yes, collectors that I never saw this coming. I would have never assumed that this was going to happen. So it's kind of good all the way around to a degree. It's just that the only drawback is that we may not see them on the show circuits as much.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, we'll see new cars.
I think it'll make it a little more interesting with the museum, too, if they don't have as many cars. They'll be able to put more cars into the museum to be able to see.
Right. Yeah. So they'll actually have...
Because I know they shift them out.
Right. They'll have more opportunity to rotate things. They'll have more room to bring things in. So we'll see how that goes. We'll probably be talking about it there in mid to late January.
Of course.
Try to grab some video of it, what we can, and we'll be posting more information. That would typically go in the lounge or the automotive news section.
Yeah.
You know, there's more to the board than just the 2010s forum. All right.
Okay, what do we got?
That's
here?
A lot of GM news, man. That was a mouthful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I see that it's time to get into the holiday cheer. The holiday glee, right?
Well, that too. Cheer, glee.
Right on.
You know what this year is?
What?
This is the 10-year anniversary of the message board. 10 years. 1998, Christmas Eve, 2008.
Wow.
God, I remember it like it was yesterday. I can't believe it's been 10 years already.
I can't believe all the ways that I and the world have changed in 10 years. I remember when you put it up. I remember exactly where I was sitting, and now I'm in a place that I never thought I'd be.
I know. This is just insane. We were the very first threaded message board on the internet.
For automotive, yeah.
Using UBB.
Yeah.
They're still around. And they're still going strong, but a lot of people did move to vBulletin when it went to a MySQL backend. So, yeah, we eventually moved away from UBB, but I'll never forget being able to find that a good friend of mine who passed away,
Chauncey,
forwarded the link to me and said, at the time we were running an ISP here in Detroit.
Yep.
And for one of our customers, they wanted a message board. And he's like, what do you think of this one? It was some guy who had just written it himself, who was working for a newspaper.
Like the San Francisco Chronicle or something like that?
Something like that. And he was doing this in his spare time. His name is Ted O'Neill. He's still the owner of the Ultimate Bulletin Board. They've changed names a couple times.
InfoPop and now...
Madrona, remember?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, anyways, he forwarded it on to me. And being an old BBS guy, I'm used to all these message board stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I took a look at it and I said, this is it. This is what's going to differentiate our site from the others, because we're going to be able to draw people into the site and keep them there.
Having categories and instead of just one page full of threads and replies. Right.
And nobody else was doing it. There was a message board software out there called WWW Threads, which basically it was like one page.
With links. That were threaded together.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so we put it up and launched it Christmas Eve. And holy cow, did it take off.
Yeah, there was a tremendous growth period that we're entering back into again.
Yep. And because of that, we launched a whole bunch of other sites too.
Yeah, a lot of other sites said, hey, look what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's a true story. That's not just us patting ourselves on the back. It's a true story. We were the first threaded automotive message board. Yeah. And we're still the best.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says. Kiss my behind.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was an age of wonder, man.
Yeah, it was good. It's good to reminisce.
So we could have had we could be celebrating this another year earlier, the 10-year anniversary of the message board. But you waited. You were holding off until you found the right software.
I knew exactly what I wanted. It wasn't out there yet.
Yeah,
and when I saw it, I knew it.
And then when I saw vBulletin, that's when I said, it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful, but we need to shift over to this.
Yep.
And I know it took a little bit of convincing on your end, but it got to the point where the site got so big that Ultimate Bulletin Board just couldn't handle it.
Right. And at that time, UBB didn't offer a MySQL backend.
Mm-hmm.
So, and everybody was moving towards the vBulletin. So, yep. I mean, so they were growing, they were expanding, and they offered a lot more functionality. Eventually,
and
we
I
just
gotta tell
it.
You, there are some Goliath vBulletin message boards.
Oh,
out there.
I believe it.
They're just ridiculously sized.
What about like Something Awful or something? You know?
Yeah, those guys
huge.
They make us look like nothing.
I know.
Well, to celebrate 10 years of our message forum and our community, well, all I can say is I'm going to be working diligently on the message forums Christmas Eve, and you're going to notice some changes. Be watching for an announcement in the site news and updates forum. God, I always get that wrong. Is it site news and updates or announcements? I wrote the damn title. I should know.
Whatever. They know what you're talking about.
The first forum of the board, probably later on in the day, but there's going to be an announcement. Small gift for everybody.
Yep.
And an even bigger gift for some.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Speaking of gifts, order your CamaroZ28.com diecast cars today at CZ28store.com.
Get that in there.
Yeah, had to slide that in there. I got some extras this time. Economy's tight, man, but they're still available.
Okay.
All right, now, should we get into the holiday glee? Now that
we've been in the holiday glee.
Yeah, but
the real
being fortunate enough to announce 10 years of volunteering our time and sacrificing our families for this damn community of ours. I'm very, very thankful to be able to say that we've done that.
Oh, I know.
Most people would well,
give up.
Well, first
I mean,
of all,
we made it through the .com boom and bust.
Yep.
We're still around.
Well, not to mention, we don't hate each other.
No.
I don't know how we managed to do that, because I've been married to my wife for 8 years and we hate each other. You and I have been together and not in the same capacity, of course, but on a business level and a friendship level for 10 years. And
over 10 years, 96.
Oh, God. Well, yeah.
At least.
I'm dating us now.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into the holiday glee and our thankfulness, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah?
Bumper nuts. Now, let's get into the holiday glee.
Let's get into the holiday glee.
What do you got there, Chris?
Oh, we started this last year, didn't we?
Either that or the year before.
Yeah. Jones Soda.
Yeah, you found some.
Oh, my wife found some for us.
I can't even see the label because the laptop's in the way here.
the color
it
of
looks
it.
Like, it does look like urine.
It does. It does kind of look like urine.
It looks like hot pee.
This year's Christmas flavor is called Pear Tree.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was like, you know, drunken eggnog pee.
Oof, oof.
You know, or something, you know, gravy or green bean casserole flavored soda like before.
Nothing really nasty
so
this year.
We're expecting this to be pear flavored soda.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're gonna try this just like we did the last year or two.
All right. Does it smell peary?
Mm-hmm.
Pearish, or does it smell like piss?
No, it doesn't smell like piss.
It looks just like urine. It looks like watered down beer is really what it looks like.
I'll give you all more than that.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Bottle here.
Oh, great. That means we have to finish
it? We
can
enjoy this for the episode here.
All right. Fine. Okay.
Oh, wait. I got to read the cap.
Oh, read the cap. Yeah.
The cap says, you will soon receive compliments on your style.
We opened the wrong bottle. I'm a jeans and t-shirt sort of guy.
Okay, you ready?
Let me smell it. We always smell it first.
The aroma?
It smells peary.
All right. Almost smells like wine.
Sweet.
Okay, you ready?
Here you go. Tastes like freaking pear pop.
Yeah?
Pear pop.
Doesn't taste bad.
Doesn't taste holiday-ish either.
No?
But it's pear. It's good. It's actually...
It's not bad.
It's something I'd actually get once in a while, like on a hot summer day. Well, a fine thank you to Jones Soda for making that available
providing
for us
our holiday glee.
For us to find, because they didn't send it to us. Hey, Jones, we know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Send us some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right. Well, while we enjoy this, we like to remind everybody that we're always open for people to contact us. And some people have contacted us. And we're going to read those emails right after this.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
All right. We know this is running long. We warned you guys. So it's going to run a little longer. Chris, you got a voice... email, and I've got an email.
Yeah, we got two emails to go through this week.
All right, go right ahead, my friend.
Okay, this one comes from Todd Roberts, a.k.a. Monster Todd. He says, hey, guys, I'm a longtime lurker on the board, and this is my first email to the podcast. Well, thank you. I'm absolutely smitten with the new Camaro and plan on ordering one later in the year. Just wondering if you could answer a couple of questions for me. I've never ordered a car before. So just a little confused on some things. Does Chevy place restrictions on the number of cars that they'll take orders for? Is there a time limit on ordering? If I wanted to wait until, say, July to order my Camaro, would that be possible? The reason is that I want to wait and see what additional options might be coming out, aka heads-up display. One more question. I live in San Diego, California. So far, I haven't had any luck with dealerships in the area taking orders for Camaros at MSRP. Everyone I've talked to is charging a premium on MSRP. Have you heard of any dealerships in the area that are accepting orders at MSRP? I know, probably a long shot, but I figured I'd give it a try. See you guys. Todd Roberts, a.k.a. Monster Todd.
Great email.
I know, it's a great, great question. A lot of people are asking the same thing. First, does Chevy place restrictions on the number of cars they take orders for?
Yeah, they don't want to sell any cars. No, not at all.
They don't take any restrictions. I mean, dealers have
certain
allocations on how many cars they can order, but GM doesn't say we're only taking 5,000 orders for Camaros.
That's another dealership fib.
Yeah.
That they're going to be limited edition or they're only making X amount of V8 or X amount of V6. Yeah. We've heard no confirmation of that, right?
No.
And some dealerships just won't have any. Some will only have a couple and some will have 30 or 40.
Right.
So don't worry about that.
His other question is, if you waited till July to order, is that still possible?
I think so, yeah. I don't see why not.
The only problem I see with that is it might be the next model year.
And there is a little bit of a gap between where if he places an order at a certain time of the year, and I don't think it's July, I think it's more closer to August, where his order will be delayed because of the product, the model year changeover.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick can probably clarify this a little bit, or Cheryl can, probably Cheryl actually. But
when the ordering changeover takes place,
you know, don't hesitate to bother your dealer. You know, ask them.
Yeah, call, they're there for.
Exactly. Every month, if you want an update, say, "Hey, is it too late? Hey, when is it going to come down? Hey, what's my info? What are my options?
Yeah.
What are my options? Because remember, they work for you.
Right. And his last question is about finding a dealership to order his Camaro at MSRP, since he lives in San Diego, and everybody in his area is taking orders for over MSRP.
Refuse Camaro markups.
Absolutely.
Period. Don't, you know what, if you got to go 50 or 100 miles out of your way to do it, then do it. It'll be worth it in the end, because right. you shouldn't buy into any dealership doing that. They're not treating the buyers right. fairly at that point.
Just do a Google search for Chevrolet dealerships around your area and pick up the phone and call around.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Absolutely. Anybody that's out there listening that knows any dealerships in that area, please feel free to call in, drop us a voicemail.
Yeah, we'll definitely pass that on.
Absolutely. We've always been big supporters of our community members and Camaro enthusiasts getting the right deal from a dealership that's going to treat them right. And we're always going to facilitate that if we can. We're still working on a dealer network program coming out early spring, right about the time that the cars are being rolling off the assembly
right.
line.
Yeah.
And that'll help everybody who hasn't ordered just yet. And if you're waiting until the middle of next year to order, then you should have plenty of choices. So don't sweat it, my friend.
Very good.
And since I'm running my mouth, I'll read my email. This one comes from David Hanthorne. Here we go. Hey guys, I'm a brand spanking new member of the boards. His username is Dave2_01SS. I've listened to the podcast for a couple of weeks now, though, after stumbling upon it on iTunes.
Nice.
Cool. Keep up the great work. Well, we will. I have two quick questions. First, about the bodies in white you discussed last week. Should I assume that these do not have a VIN number and will therefore be illegal for street use? Well, we've already covered that a little earlier there, Dave, so...
Yep.
My second question is, has there been any word as to if, when the new engines, particularly the L99, will be available as a crate engine? That's probably a great one for our friends at GM Performance Parts.
Right.
And I've got a phone call into them that's forthcoming. I'll see if I can ask them about that.
Yeah.
I want to get more clarification on some of the stuff in the GMPP catalog that we posted and talked about last week. And I'll see if I can get that information if I can. I'm sure it's going to come sooner or later.
Oh, yeah. I bet you after the car's out that it'll probably be available as a crate motor.
He continues. Side note, I've seen several of the I've seen several of the cutesy holiday things you were talking about last week, such as those freaking antlers and Christmas lights. Here in Jersey, though, I may have you guys beat. Just about a week ago, there was a man driving around in his Toyota Tundra, not only done up in Christmas lights, as spelled out ho ho ho.
Oh no!
But also had a giant Santa hat on the roof.
Like, oh my God.
Like the hat on the Napa trucks.
Oh my God.
And a full sized automated Santa Claus in the passenger seat, waving at nearby cars. Top that, Dave.
Do you even want to try and top that?
You know, Dave, I had a lot of respect for you. But because you didn't answer that email by saying, and I promptly ran him into a snowbank, because that's what I think should happen. Stand up, America. Stand up against us. Here I go.
Oh, man.
I've got so many directions I can go with that. You know, that's funny. That
takes the cake. That definitely does.
When he said a full-size automated Santa Claus in the passenger seat waving at nearby cars, maybe it's just my warped mind, but there's something a little perverted about that. Like, you know, does he carry the Santa Claus into his home at night when he's done driving and put a ballerina skirt on him or something like that?
Does he got a loudspeaker on the top of his car underneath the Santa hat that's ho, 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 or playing jingle bells?
He's got the Christmas lights, but Dave, that's a good one.
Classic.
That's not classic. That's stupid. That's just wrong. Come on. Holiday spirit and everything, that's great, but holiday stupidity, well, as King Jaffe Joffer said, there's a fine line between love and nausea. And here, there's a fine line between spirit and stupidity.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody got that one reference. Oh, boy. Well.
Yeah, this has been a long episode, hasn't
it? Yeah, this is probably our longest yet. But hey, it's the holidays, dang it.
That's right. I'm going to pour myself some more Jones soda.
Oh, you like that? It makes you kind of burpy.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a tough year. It's been a tough year for a lot of us. I had to do a lot of work on location. Thanks to that SOB, Jake Robb, it made it a lot easier because I got to hang out with him while I was on location. I was in his area.
That's good.
And a special thanks to Jake for writing the kick-ass Camaro Builder program. He really put a lot of effort into it, and I think he's continually working on it.
Good. Good.
We got a lot to be thankful for.
We love it.
I mean, times could be a lot better than what they are, but quite honestly, you know, anybody who's down on their luck, just hang in there. It's going to come around, right, Chris?
You got that right.
Say. It's got
you
to.
You got that right. So what are you doing for the holidays?
I'm probably going to actually, normally I have a New Year's Eve party every year. Everybody gets smashed, except me, usually. The past couple years I haven't. I've only had a couple beers and just watched everybody else
get hammered.
Spend the night on my bathroom floor. I think for the holidays I'm going to spend it up north, cultivating my newfound love for snowmobiling.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably what I'm going to do.
So does that mean you're not going to be here next week for the podcast?
There's a good chance that I may have to phone it in.
Oh, okay. That should be interesting. Well, we did that one time when you were in Las Vegas for SEMA.
Right. Of course, I also had a bunch of crazed Las Vegas boys with me.
Yeah.
This is pretty refreshing, actually. Yeah. It's not overpowering. Got to say thanks to all our members.
Of course.
Our community members. I mean,
without them, there wouldn't be an us.
Yeah, and without them, I'd have a lot of free time.
And, I think our wives would be a lot happier, too.
Not mine.
No.
She'd be like, get out and do something. Special thanks to Scott Settlemeyer, Cheryl Pilcher, John Fitzpatrick, Paul Byther. Listening, buddy. And really, we could spend the next 3 hours mentioning names. But
Micah for coming in studio as well.
Yeah.
Doing an interview this year.
Micah, Vlad. What's the name of? Oh, I can't think of his name.
Sung Yup Lee?
That's the dude. Yeah. I was pointing at the picture trying to read his signature on the wall. Oh. Everybody who made the car, it's been a tough year, but it's going to get good. There's no plans for any cancellation of the Camaro.
No.
That'd be stupid.
That's right. Business as usual.
I guess I just want to say thanks to everybody. Especially you, buddy, for hanging in there with me. Any thoughts on your end?
No, just going to do the family thing over the holiday and try and relax. I'm off work after the 23rd until January 5th. Relax, enjoy the time off, and get recharged for the new year.
It's going to be a great year. Mark my words.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be great. One way or another, we're going to make it great.
Hell yeah.
So thanks to everybody. We'll
see you next week.
All right, that's going to do it.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.
All right, cue the dogs. Arf, 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 arf